Please turn with me tonight to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. And I read verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So my title tonight is Glory for Sinners. Glory for Sinners. It is intentional, the contrast. Glory and sinners. Normally the two are not friends. Instead, God is giving us what we do not deserve. That's conversion. That's really what matters for you and me. How does a sinner become a saint? It is only by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what we see in the verse here, that Christ is bringing many sons unto glory. I just replaced the word sons by the word sinners unto glory. Sinners becoming saints. Now, God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, have come down into this world in a human body. You know that, I'm sure. This is a historical fact. He is God, but he became a man by coming into this world. Now, he became a man into this world really to take us into a journey. I hope everyone here, young and old, children and adults alike, you know that life is a journey. Life is not a gamble. It's not gambling or a game. Life is a journey. But now, the same Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world to take you and me into a journey, he went back into glory. That's what we read twice in our reading. You find the word glory, glory, that Christ was crowned with glory and honor. So he went back into the heavenly places to get back that glory which he always had. To do what? He's busy working, bringing many sinners unto glory. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come back. He will come back, and when he comes back, we know from the scriptures it will be the end of the world. But so far, while he is in heaven, waiting for the last soul to enter into the kingdom of God, he is working there. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we remonstrate with you day and night, week after week. That's why we plead with you. We say, we beseech you by the mercies of God, be reconciled with God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing many sinners, many sons into glory, into the eternal happiness of heaven, into that eternal bliss. Incomparable with what the world can give you, really. But now I really have to concentrate, I have to say on what I have in mind, because from verse 10 to verse 18 of Hebrews 10, there are more. Believe me, there are more. But I have selected 10 reasons which should make you to pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you are asking me, why should I believe in him? Who is he actually? What has he done? And the passage here, just to, in a concise way, making it short, gives us those 10 reasons to tell you this is the person who is well fitted. He is well qualified to be the savior of the world, to take a sinner from this earthly doomed condition, his miserable condition, rejected, cut off from the living God because of his own sins and things you have brought upon yourself and upon myself. But here we are, we can have fellowship with the living God just because of the merits, the qualifications, the attributes, the person, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross of Calvary. Who is Christ? What has he done? And why you need to come to him is all expressed for us in these 8 verses, from verse 10 to verse 18. And if I lose you on the way, forgive me. But you don't need the 10. I will just dwell maybe on 2 or 3. It's not the quantity which is important. But what is important is that your soul need a savior. Your soul need to be redeemed. I need to have fellowship with my Creator. And the only way, the only channel which was provided is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is here before us. Because of his obedience, he was crowned with glory and honor. He willingly became a man, made a little lower than the angels, but he remained God. The beauty of the salvation Christ is providing for you and me lies behind his greatness. Not behind even his names, but his greatness. He did such a great work that no sinner, if you are here listening to me tonight, don't think God doesn't love you. He brought you into this condition, into this place for a reason. There is nothing accidental or incidental. All is planned by God. Even if you do not know God, if you have never sought and found God, we can say to you that God, in his providence, brought you into this place to hear something which will do good to your soul. But remember, who has received more, more will be asked also of him. So the beauty of Christ's salvation lies really behind his greatness, behind his sublime work on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, yes, he was like no one else. There is no one like Jesus Christ, yet he became one of us, sinless and spotless to save us. So my dear friends, Christ is well fitted. He is qualified. So if I may just really list them for you. We may not touch each one of them. There are more, as I said, but these are the most important 10 reasons which qualifies the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and my Savior if you come to him in true repentance. The first one in verse 10, you don't need even an exegesis on this. It's very clear. He is the Creator. Look at it in verse 10, and it says, therefore it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. You are here for him. I'm here for him. He has created us. I said I will just list them. We will come back to some of them. He is the Creator. And if you read again verse 10, verse 18, he is the chief sufferer. Or to use a biblical term we often hear about, he is the suffering servant. He is the Creator. He is the suffering servant. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. And as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. The third one, he is the captain of our salvation. The fourth one, in verse 11, he is the sanctifier, the one who purifies, the one who cleanses the heart, the one who washes away all our sins. The fifth one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a brother. He's a brother. He's our brother. And the sixth one, the Lord Jesus Christ is the destroyer of the devil. The seventh one, he is the deliverer from death. And the eighth one, he is the redeemer. The ninth one, he is the comforting, sympathetic, faithful high priest. And the last one in verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ is the succor. I know it went fast. You don't need all of them. But I want to dwell just to emphasize on a number of them to show you that he is fitted. He can take a sinner, no matter what you have committed in sin, no matter what you have said in your life, no matter what you have done in your past, no matter what you are doing in your present state and condition, the Lord Jesus Christ can take you into glory. Glory, not just something you are waiting for. Even now, you receive the forgiveness of sins. You receive a new name. Your name will be written in the Lamb Book of Life. You will be adopted in the family of God. Your prayers will have a meaning with the living before the God, and God will become your Father. A divine Father, the blood of Lord Jesus Christ will run in your veins. Of course, we are speaking spiritually, but please allow me to look at the first one. Here is the first one I want to draw your attention on in verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation. That's the first one I want to dwell on. The captain of our salvation in bringing many sons unto glory. Now, that word captain is a wonderful word. It is an important word. You know why? The word is only mentioned four times in the New Testament. And twice in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 5, that word is translated by the word prince. By the way, the word has really a high polysemous meanings, many meanings given to the name. But just to mention a few of them, as I said, in Acts chapter 3 and 5, the same word, the Greek word, is translated prince there. But the third occurrence of the word is in Hebrews 12, verse 2, well-known verse, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author. You see, it's the same word, captain, there. But now here, that's the fourth time in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, that word is being translated by the word captain, which means what? Christ is the champion. As I said, it has many meanings. He is the champion, he is the commander, he is the leader, he is the perfecter, he is the pathfinder, he is the founder. Many, many words could really translate that word. What does it mean? The Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He is the pioneer, he is the leader. It means he blazed a trail for us. You know, if you have, you know anything about army, that captain, his role is to blaze, is to make the way. Before, here is the troop going towards the enemy. And here is our captain. He says, you there? The enemy is over there. And I blaze the way for you. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ blazed that way, but he is also the way. He himself. Which means he is not like the prophets of the world. He is not like other religions. You know, other religions, every religion, you can study them. The prophets of the religion will say, come, I will show you the way to go to God. But Christ says, come unto me, I'm the way. He himself is the way. Not just to take you to God, but you come to him because he is God. You will have fellowship with him. You will have fellowship with the living God, and you will be forgiven. You will have a new audience with your Creator. So all those meanings are given to us in the word captain of our salvation. I hope you see. Many people say, I'm the captain of my own life. If you are the captain of your own life, can I tell you, the boat will sink very soon. But if Christ is the captain, he will lead you and he will take you safe to the port, to that glory waiting for you one day. You will be forgiven right now. He will protect you. You do not fear the demons and the devil and the Satan and so on. You do not fear even men. You don't fear them because you are trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, there are many, many captains in this world. But do you see the difference? This captain is the captain of our salvation. Many, many captains, many, many generals of army, commandants and so on, commanders. But the only one who can save your soul is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our hero didn't flinch. He won the battle through his death and resurrection. Oh, there is no greater captain to lead you and to save you than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Our captain is alive. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is mighty and he is alive. Even now, you cry unto him for help. He hears you because he is alive. All religions will tell you our prophets are dead. Take any one of them. But the religion, the Christian religion says, the Lord Jesus Christ, 3 days in a tomb, but he was risen from the dead. So he can hear you. He can hear your cry. No one may not hear you among us here. And we shouldn't actually hear you at all. What is important is the Lord to hear your cry. Can you say to him, Lord, help me? Can you say to him, Lord, here I am. I'm a wretched sinner. How much I need thee? This could be said by even a child. You don't need a laborious, sophisticated language to go before the Lord for salvation. But I must come to the second one. The second quality given which makes the Lord Jesus Christ to be fitted to save you and me. It is in verse 11. And there it says that for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. You see, if I may give the second title there, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sanctifier. The sanctifier. You may think this is a big word, but no. It's a very simple word. What does it mean? He's the purifier. He's the one who can make you to be a saint. My dear brothers and sisters, dear visitor, dear friend, a church has no power to make of you a saint. A preacher has no power to make of you a saint. The Pope cannot. No denomination can. But the Lord Jesus Christ can, because he is the sanctifier. And sanctifies means he will separate you for a sacred use. He will set you apart. You will be aparted. You will not be the same anymore. You will be purified. Your heart will be renewed. You will have new character. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be adopted in the family of the living God. So he is the sanctifier, the purifier. Oh, Lord, purify my heart. I need it. My heart is polluted by sin, by evil thoughts, by evil conduct. I'm surrounded by wickedness day after day. But Lord, please help me that I may live a separated life. Life that is pleasing unto thee. To walk not just for myself, but to walk for the one who loved me and gave himself for me. He is the purifier. He's the captain of your salvation. He made a way. He made a way by his own blood. That's, you know, when we speak about roads, we speak about ways, they are made of tarmac. But the tarmac which made a way to heaven is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, covered. But you know the difference? Normally blood, when we speak about blood, it stings, it's dirty and so on. But Bible says that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes us, cleans us, and we become even whiter than snow. That's what his blood does. It purifies us. But the third one, look at in verse 12 and 13. And it says something beautiful there, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. So first, Christ is the captain of our salvation. Second, he is the purifier, the sanctifier. But here, he's the brother. He's the brother. But see, there is something why this is important. It says, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. Verse 13. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. I don't know, maybe you have someone in your family or in my family, if I could apply to myself. I'm ashamed of him. I do not want people to see me walking with him. I do not want people to see me related to him. It can happen in families, because that person has brought shame upon himself. I do not want to associate myself with him. But guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who should be ashamed of us. How does he call us? My brother, my sister. If you trust in him, you know, people came and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are here after you. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? The person who does the will of God and obey to his commandments. So the easiest way for you and me to obey the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first step is what? Confess him as Lord. Repent, trust in him, believe in him. That's all you need to do. But, you know, he was not ashamed to come into this world. Just imagine, if I could spend 1 or 2 minutes on this. Where should he be born? This is the King of Kings. Normally, this is the only person in the whole world which should choose which hospital, which country, what time, when, where he should be born. He could choose that. But guess what? He was not ashamed to be born in a manger, the place where animals are kept. What a great humiliation and humility from the Prince of Honor, from the Prince of Peace, from the glorious God of this universe. He was not ashamed to walk for 33 years on on the dirt and the dust of this world with all its sinful ways. He should have been ashamed of that, but he did not. He came. He should have been ashamed to die on the cross of Calvary. You know, sometimes you see on churches big crosses, they should remove them. It doesn't have such meaning. But because in the word of God it is said, cursed is anyone that is hanged on a tree. But Christ was not ashamed. You know why he was not ashamed? Because he knew before the foundation of this world that this is the only plan, this is the only way for men and women to have forgiveness of their sins. He was not ashamed. He came and he died. We know that. They mocked him. They spat at him. But all that, he did it that he will become our brother. We should be ashamed of our own condition. We should look unto the record of our own sins. We should look how can we stand before God to be judged. With whom would you like to be connected tonight? If I can speak to you straight in your heart, please. With whom would you like to be connected the most in this world? I hope you want to be connected with such a Savior. Who loved you, he died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty. You know, God's righteous indignation should have been poured upon us. That's why I said from the beginning, glory for sinners. What a contrast. Christ took upon himself the punishment we deserved. He was not ashamed to be limited by time and space. He is our brother. He had every right to be ashamed of us, but we have his solidarity. You trust in his shed blood, you become one of his, and it will never be undone. God becomes your father. Now, I can point to you another one given to us. Look at in verse 14. This is an amazing one, really. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, you see, he became one of us, yet so different than us, without sin, spotless, blameless. But he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So the fourth one, Christ is well fitted. He is well qualified to become our Savior. He is the destroyer of the devil. He destroyed the devil. You can read later. We don't have time to turn into it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, verse 8. It is said there that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world to destroy the works of Satan, the works of the devil.
Oh, may I say this to you? Please don't be offended. Before conversion, Bible says, Satan is our father. That's the person we belong to. But you see the shift? Once somebody is converted, once somebody found Jesus Christ as his brother, no more. Satan has been destroyed. Yes, his power is still working, but he cannot stop you tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is unable to do that. If from the seat of your heart, there is a prompting in your heart, Lord, I'm a sinner, help me. I want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says the devil is in chain. He cannot stop you from coming to conversion. You want it? Come. Come to the Lord and he will save you. And the same, not only the destroyer of the devil, he destroyed the works of the devil, but greater one, look at it again in verse 14 and 15. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Sometimes in our foolishness we say, I'm not afraid of death. But deep down on your heart, that's why, you know, non-believers are denying life after death because they cannot explain why do we die. But Christ, by his death, made the way to destroy death. That's why I didn't plan to read this, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul will say something amazing there, which sums up the fact that Christ has the power to deliver us from the bondage and from the fear of death. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ defeated death. In Christ there is immortality. I hope no one misunderstands that. That's why we say a Christian is immortal. A Christian will never die. Yeah, the body will die. We know that death is everywhere. It surrounds us every week, every day, every second actually. But you know, Christ said, as I live, you shall live also. He said, I'm the resurrection and life. Whoever believeth on him shall never die. We are told in Revelation chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ holds the keys of hell and death. So better be friend of the one who holds the keys of hell and death. He will open you not hell, not death, but he will open to you heaven if you trust in him, if you come to him in repentance. So man may conquer Mars, they may conquer every planet you can think about. Man may conquer moon, people think they will live on the moon one day. Fine for us, fine for them, fine for science, fine for astronomy and astrology or whatever you want, but man will never conquer death. The only person who conquered death is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please read again 1 Corinthians 15. That is the sublime, the greatest chapter. It's an elegy about how Christ defeated death. There is hope for us. There is hope for you if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in his precious blood. We are all on the precipice at the edge of death. Death had power over us, but the Lord Jesus Christ defeated it. And death is the result of sin. Sin is an insult to God. It cuts off us away from God. But Christ destroyed death. It took its sting. And dying on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die just as a victim, but as a victor. His death was unique. He released us from the dread of death. In Christ, glory is beyond the grave. Glory is what? Have you lost a dear one recently who is a believer? Oh, there is glory beyond death. beyond the grave for a believer. But for a non-believer, if you are a non-believer, what can I tell you tonight? Can I say to you, yes, you will go to heaven? No, I cannot say that to you. But what I can say to you tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ said, you will be exactly where he is. He said it to the thief on the cross of Calvary. That thief, the brigand, the malefactor, he didn't have any hope. When he was put on that cross, there was no hope for him. But his prayer, Lord, remember me. And his prayer was answered because Christ said to him, what did Christ say to him? Tomorrow? Next year? Today? So the same promise I can give you. I cannot tell you people who are foolish, they don't read their Bible, they say, oh, everyone will go to heaven. Not everyone. Everyone who believes in Christ, who trusts in the precious blood of Christ, who repents and look unto Calvary. Calvary is the greatest event in human history. That's why we need salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, I would like to mention one more. Let me go to the last one in verse 18. Our time is over in verse 18. But in verse 16, you can see Christ is the reconciler. He made reconciliation for the sins of the people. He turned away God's righteous indignation over our sins. The hostility is over. We have peace with God. And in verse 17, Christ is the high, sympathetic, and comforting, and faithful high priest. He knows what we are going through. Maybe you have no one to listen to you. You have no one to call. Please, can I invite you, verse 17, read it carefully. Call upon the high priest. Call upon the high priest. In Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, he said, come, come. There is a throne of grace. There is a place where we can speak. You can speak directly to God, and you shall receive mercy in due time. God will answer your prayers in due time. So, but here is the last one I would like to put before you among the 10 I have mentioned tonight. In verse 18, and here we see Christ is the succor. He's the savior. He's the rescuer. That's another word we could use there. He secured our salvation and he saved our souls. And all this was planned before the foundation of the world. In Christ, we have received dignity. You know, when just every believer could say that. When you didn't know the Lord, life was vague. What were you living for? But Christ has brought back to us our mind. He has brought back to us our dignity. He has given us honor. Now we are not like animals anymore. We are sons. We are sons of the living God. We are no more even children of Adam. We are the seed of Abraham. Abraham, the father of believers. But more than that, we are not just sons of Adam or sons of Abraham. We are sons, children of the living God. That's what verse 10 says, in bringing many sons. Before we were slaves to sin, we were sinful sinners. But now there is a metamorphosis, there is a change, there is a transformation. We are children of the living God. Please, I close with this. Here are the blessings we have mentioned tonight. Can you see what you are losing, what you are missing outside the kingdom of God, outside the Calvary, outside the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you missing? Here are the blessings. First of all, you are on your way to heavenly glory. Even now, you are sanctified, you are made a saint. No more fear of death. No more fear of the devil. You are delivered once for all. You are a brother. You belong to the biggest and richest family in this world. That's the promise Christ has given us in his word. But you are also a saved person. A saved person. It's here in Hebrews 10, verse 14. I close with that. That's a wonderful verse. For by one offering, Hebrews 10, verse 14, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and for me if you believe in him. Come to him, trust in him. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray together. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before thee. Pity us, please, Lord. Do not leave us in this miserable state and condition of being separated from the one who loved us the most. We pray, Lord, that thou will see the troubles in our hearts. Thou will make us to be troubled also. O Lord, deal tenderly with us. Make this place a place where a sinner will remember that one day he has come in repentance and faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for hearing us as we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 363.